Welcome to Behind the Curtain with me, Rhiannon Cars. Today I am thrilled to be joined by someone who, well, she inspires me, as well as so many others, the brilliant Laura Rodriguez. Laura is one of those people who doesn't just talk about our values, she lives them. And everything she does, she radiates what Curtain stands for, and she does it with like a kind of quiet brilliance that really lifts the people around her. She's now a senior learning and development professional, but like many others, Laura's journey hasn't exactly been linear. So after returning from maternity leave, she took the opportunity to, I suppose, steer her career in a slightly new direction. And she made the leap from our Manchester civil and structures team into our learning and development department. It was originally a 6-month placement, but I suppose fortunately for all, that was a huge success and the role became permanent in 2024. So in today's episode, we're going to unpack that career switch a little bit. I'm going to dig into kind of what I suppose that felt like for her, what she learned, how she navigated that pivotal moment. And we'll also dive into Laura's incredible work inspiring the next generation of engineers. So she works tirelessly in STEM and outreach efforts, and we'll explore that a little bit as well. So welcome, Laura. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So I suppose, let's start there. Can you tell us about your journey as an engineer? So that kind of that first chapter, if you like, of your career. What did that look like for you?
Yes, so I came into engineering by chance, I guess. Mm-hmm. I did an architectural degree in Spain, which was quite lengthy. So I came into the industry a bit later than a usual graduate would. Mm-hmm. 'Cause my first job was as an architect, actually, as an architectural assistant. And then after trying it for about 12, 14 months, I saw that it was not what I thought it would be. And because my original degree even though it was called architecture, it was a mixture of engineering, mechanical engineering, structural engineering, I could do a transition into engineering quite easily. So I got my first job into engineering when I was about 25. Yeah, mm-hmm, 25.
Right.
And our company previous to Curtains. And I was there for about a couple of years as a graduate. So that was my first role. I transitioned into like the next step into an engineering role. And then at that point, I decided to move to Curtains, which is where I've been for nearly 9 years now. So I knew someone who worked at Curtains in Liverpool, who I was doing a master's at Salford University. Mm-hmm. And he was talking greatly about, how great it was to work at Curtains and I should join the company. I wanted more support for my career development. And then I decided to move. And that's how I started moving up the ladder.
Interesting. So what was it then about Curtains, I suppose, when you first joined that you really, that I don't know, this friend of yours was almost kind of sharing and I suppose selling the company to you. But what was it that really kind of gripped you and you thought, oh, actually, that feels like it's the place for me?
I think at the time he was doing the Curtains Academy. Mm-hmm. And I was working for a much smaller firm. And even though I was working on smaller projects, I was led to lead my own project, but I felt a bit of lack of support. Mm. And I felt like to progress into my career, I needed that level of seniority support, yeah. Someone that was shadowing me, mentoring me. Mm. And this, old program that he was talking at the time, he was indeed was like that Curtains Academy. I thought, I could probably join this company and, perhaps see now, progress into the engineering, within Curtains. So mm-hmm. I was, that was an opportunity open. I came for an interview and I started as an engineer, really. So that was, so at the time I didn't join as a graduate. I was, a few years experience. Mm-hmm. But I did join the Curtains Academy from year one because mm-hmm. I thought that would be like the right, the right progress for me to go through the whole experience.
Interesting. So for anyone who's listening who doesn't understand what the Curtains Academy is, doesn't know what that is. So that's our graduate structured program, and people join that when they first enter their careers and get I suppose, nurtured and given that all-round experience that brings them up to that chartership level,
correct.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, yeah. And correct. You're now obviously really involved with that in the role correct. That you do now. It's interesting what you were reflecting on there in terms of, you know, perhaps your experience of working in a smaller business. And we hear that quite a lot, the sweet spot that Curtains is in terms of its size. Not so small that, you know, you kind of perhaps propelled into greater responsibility a little bit sooner than you'd perhaps wish for, that you might, you know, you might see if it's in a smaller business. But actually sometimes the larger businesses, people sort of feel like they can get a little bit lost, I suppose, in that great machine. And Curtains is very much kind of found that sweet spot, as I say, in between those two, where, yeah, you get that support from people around you, but you also do get given that real variety of opportunities because you don't get lost, I suppose.
Yeah, no. So obviously my previous firm was about like a one office, 25 people, but much smaller. I didn't feel myself at the time to go, like, as you said, to a big company where, yeah, like a lot of people, and you know, you don't really know where you stand. Mm-hmm. So when I did the move to Curtains, I felt right away that, you know, I kind of like found my feet. I thought that I was gonna get the right support, but I actually was gonna have room for like progression. And since I remember after 3 months I joined, I remember very vividly being invited to this. It was like the 100 best companies to work for in the UK.
Uh-huh.
And I got the email straight away from Rob, and I thought it was a spam. I've been here 3 months. I cannot have been invited to these awards in London. Mm-hmm. I felt I was surreal. I was like, oh, actually, this is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, anyone could be invited. Even like the Manchester colleague were so jealous. We're like, well, I've been here for 3 years, I'm still not gonna. And then I found out it was kind of like randomly picked by employees, so it was like, mm-hmm. you know, by chance.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go. I felt pretty good. I met Helen at the time from HR, and Rob obviously in person. But yeah, it was just kind of like great. I thought this is like a good place to work for. Like, I felt like this is good.
I love that. That's one of those standout memories for
really,
you.
Really, that was like my first memory. I was literally Fantastic. 3 months, and I thought, what? I actually have to check with my senior, thinking, is this like legit?
Do I click the link?
It's actually legit. I don't want to click and be in a span. I thought, like, okay, fine.
And it was legit. And so you went to London to the Sunday Times top 100 best companies to work for. Celebrate, like, with your colleagues. Amazing.
Yeah, I think we came like 17 at the time. I'm not mm-hmm. sure if we still take part on there, but it was mm-hmm. like a massive award. I've never been in one of like kind of events at, you know, my previous company. There was nothing like, you know, like that. I felt quite like, wow, this is big moments here.
Welcome to Curtains.
Welcome to Curtains. Enjoy the rest of your career with us.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So you're talking about kind of that, you know, that start of your career, like I say, that first chapter. And in fact, even that wasn't linear, was it? Coming from kind of an architecture background and then into engineering. But then, so you achieved your chartership, and then you kind of made that switch into the learning and development team, didn't you? So could you just kind of tell us what inspired you to make that move? And I'd love to hear about, like, I suppose, when you kind of realised that was the right move for you as well. I think people listening to this will, you know, some people do have an absolutely linear career and that's perfectly right for them. Mm. And other people do a little bit more of a wiggly line to perhaps get to where they want to. So I think it'd be great to hear from you on how it felt.
Yes. Yeah, so I obviously, after I joined Curtains, I, you know, I started progressing quite quickly in my role. I think within the first year I was promoted to project engineer, so I could see, you know, I could see myself, this is going well. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I went for my first maternity leave.
Mm-hmm.
Came back. It's difficult to navigate, as you know, as a new mom. Managing your parenting responsibility with your job. Then there was also a bit of a restructure when I came back. There were some people leaving, and quite quickly after when I've joined, I was promoted to senior engineer, and that came a little bit probably before I was anticipating it.
Mm-hmm.
Because rather than kind of promoting externally, Gordon thought, well, she could do the job, she mm-hmm. should be promoted to senior. So that kind of like I was finding my feet, but I did really enjoy, I did really well. Then kind of like another 18 months in, I went again to maternity, came back, and then again kind of like trying to find my feet. And I was already having like kind of like my CPDR and thinking, well, actually what's gonna be like my next step here. So I'm gonna go into like probably in a few years, probably be looking at a principal role. And I could see those people doing the role. And I feel like I was definitely more than capable of doing it, but I didn't know that I wanted to do it. Like I thought, well, actually, if I could do something else within courses, because I really, really enjoy the company and like what I could bring on board, you know. So I thought, could there be like other perhaps kind of like, you know, departments where I could perhaps grow into? I've seen a few people already doing that, maybe move with, I think, Niamh was kind of like pioneering. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe I could try something else. And as it happened, I've never thought of L&D. Yeah. I didn't actually, well, obviously I've been involved with the L&D department through the academy, I've done the reverse mentoring.
Like on the receiving end of it.
Yeah, like kind of like obviously I've been involved, but didn't know much about like kind of organization-wise, like how do they stand, what do they provide to the whole business? Mm-hmm. And then I saw on LinkedIn, I would say, this kind of like, they were looking for someone external. I'm going to have a look at what they're actually looking externally. And then I thought, well, actually, I could probably I know Curtin's well. I've been, you know, 6-7 years at this company. I'm doing my chartership. At the time I was doing my chartership, I'd not finished. I could probably bring something probably unique to this team. Then had a couple of conversations with Rebecca. And I think the first message we exchanged, I thought, well, actually, you know, don't you think I'm crazy? But I've actually seen this advert. I'm actually keen to know what is, you know, what does it entitle? What is it about? And she was like, oh, are you looking to leave? I'm like, well, actually, I'm just exploring here. I want to stay. I was very clear. I love working at Curtin's, and I'm very, very grateful for all the opportunities. But I want to explore something different that might kind of like, that I can use my skills to bring something new to the business. And I think she kind of like saw the connecting the dots and thought, well, actually, this could be a real opportunity to bring someone technical to a team that is, you know, yes, learning and development. We didn't have anyone that's technical. She can bring all the technical skills to just kind of start producing, you know, new programs, like tailored for technical teams. You know, she had the background, she got the knowledge. And it just felt right from the beginning. Like I thought, I mean, I was finding kind of like my feet at the beginning, but it actually felt like I actually can bring a lot to this team.
I mean, it was the perfect fit, wasn't it? I think what you've just described there, knowing the business, knowing what it feels like to kind of be on the delivery end, you know, on the sharp end and interacting with clients and teams on a daily basis. I mean, that really is stars aligning, isn't it? For that kind of to fit in place and for it to be so successful. And I also think it's really interesting your reflection there on it being, you know, post-maternity leave shift as well. And I definitely kind of see that. And I definitely kind of understand that feeling of, right, I've taken space away, my entire life has changed, and actually I've just got a different perspective on the world, on my role, on what I want to be and what I want to achieve. And I think sometimes that break away from the day-to-day kind of life actually is what often will motivate that change. And it's so cool that we as a business, I suppose, could facilitate that. Because what we do see, you know, in the wider engineering industry is a trend of women coming back from maternity leave and saying, well, actually, this isn't for me. I've had that shift in perspective and this, you know, huge life event, and that's not what I want to do with the rest of my life anymore. And then they leave either the business or the industry altogether, which, you know, if that's right for an individual, then okay, you know, we wish them luck. But I think it's such a shame if we think about what that then we lose, I suppose, from the industry. But as a business, the fact that we could actually say, do you know what? Okay, that's where you're at. But look what's over here that you could do and that you kind of saw that opportunity and grabbed it with two hands. I mean, it's pretty inspiring stuff, actually. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't feel as great as it feels now, I'm going to be honest. And that step was, I didn't have any hurdles, to be honest. It was quite a straightforward move. But it felt stressful at the time because I had a lot of doubts at the time. Sure. I thought, my God, am I going to leave this engineer? I've been doing engineering for like 10 years. Mm. This is all I know. How am I going to transition? Then obviously I had people in the Manchester office, not kind of questioning, but kind of asking me, are you sure is that what you want to do?
Mm.
Because obviously I was a senior, you know, I was managing my own projects, a few, you know, kind of like young members of the team, graduates, a few technicians, and it kind of like, it was a bit of a, you know, they were like a bit like, oh, shit, we're going to lose her. Like, obviously the business wasn't going to lose me, but it felt a little bit, oh my God, am I doing the right thing here? But overall, I felt once I've made the decision, there was like no questioning.
Yeah.
Everyone was very incredibly supportive. Like, you know, there was no hard feelings. You know, you do what's best for you. This, you know, and I felt so grateful that I actually could stay at a company that I feel like, you know, that I like belong in. You know, yes. I belong here and I can bring, you know, good stuff for our employees.
I'm going to move us on, Laura, but that's so, I mean, like, it's so cool. It's so brave to make, you know, to take that leap of faith. It really, really is. And I'm glad it's worked out so well for, I suppose, like, yeah, well, all parties.
Thank you.
I would love to know, though, what sort of advice do you think that you would give to kind of young people?
Mm-hmm.
So whether they're in their 20s, like you were, and joining the industry, or whether it's kind of a fresh from an engineering degree and as a graduate a couple of years before that, but they're entering construction and engineering, what have you learned that you would pass on to them?
I think what I've learned is just look at your own path and don't look at what anyone else is doing. Just focus on your own path. I know that some is easier said than done, and sometimes that could be difficult because that, and I say from my own experience that obviously because I came in a bit later, I could see some younger engineer thinking, oh, actually, they're younger, but I thought, well, I've done an architectural degree and they have some architectural experience before that. So that kind of like a few times kind of pulled me off the path, but then I've kind of tried to like, no. You focus on your own path, have a plan, and kind of like, you know, sometime again, I've kind of like lost a bit of perspective or tried to come back again to like, right, I knew even when I left the kind of like the delivery team, I was in the middle of finishing my chartership, and I thought, no, this needs to be done. I want to get chartered. This is something that I am doing. And for if you have no, I'm going to say, if you have no kind of like family responsibilities, and, you know, I feel like if you want to progress in the engineering field, you chartership should be like your main goal.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner the better, because let's face it, it's tough.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard
yeah.
to get mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. and you know it requires a lot of commitment and dedication, your own time. But once you've done it, I'm gonna say that the satisfaction and the feeling of accomplishment is just like anything else. And I'm just saying it from the bottom of my heart. It's just
mm-hmm.
incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of support now internally, you know, at Curtin. So there's a lot of opportunities for you to like, you know, to get the right support, no matter what institution you want to get chartered. Just get in the path, just follow the path, enjoy the journey as well.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
don't rush in either. Like, you know, take the time, just do it properly, have fun.
Yeah. I think that's great. I mean, the idea of kind of like, I suppose, keeping your feet on the ground, having that conviction in your own choices and in your own path. And also having that guiding star of that chartership. And it is a milestone in any engineer's career, isn't it? And yeah, absolutely, it's tough. But once you've got that in the bag, it really does open up opportunities, both kind of, yeah, professionally, but also personally as well. You know, there are lots of things that are kind of, I suppose, after that milestone mark in your career. Along the way, have a ball. In fact, I think there's a quote that almost, yeah, from Bill Curtin that almost says exactly the same thing as that.
Have fun.
Perfect. Have fun, perfect. So I think this role that you've done in kind of going from the technical to the non-technical in the business gives you a really good sort of like position to be able to have that perspective on what support can look like. So could you tell us what sort of support Curtin's can offer people that are in non-technical roles to help them develop in their career. So a lot of, you know, we've talked about the academy, we've talked about chartership, and there's a lot of support that goes around that. But we have a number of people that are doing roles that aren't directly related to engineering and delivery. And obviously the personal professional development opportunities for them are kind of plentiful as well. So talk us through those.
Yeah, I feel like also, like me personally, actually, like, there are also being opportunities and there are opportunities for people in non-technical role to develop, whether that is an apprentice or a course they get. You know, obviously you have to kind of like see what opportunities, see where you want to develop those skills that you want to like kind of master, have those conversations with your one-to-one, you know, your one-to-ones with your line manager. But there are so many, there's a big number now of non-technical people, technical roles doing apprentices in our finance team. Yeah. In marketing, our Sam, myself, L&D, Steph just finished one, and I believe Emily is soon to start one. So there's a lot of opportunities in the legal team as well. It's non-technical. Both females are, Kimberly and Emily, are into apprenticeship roles. So there are plenty of opportunities. You just obviously have to kind of find the right course, find the right, program for you. That what is it that you need to develop, and then kind of like obviously have ask for it, you know.
I was going to say, how would people actually go about that? So if somebody's sitting there listening to this now and they think, that sounds like a bit of me, how would they pursue that? And at what point, you know, do you want them to come to come to you or come to their director kind of like with the answer, or is it more of a conversation and you kind of find something together? Talk us through what that looks like.
Yeah, so that kind of like the way that looks like is obviously we all do our annual appraisal. Now we are kind of like, hopefully everyone's have their meetings, their like, you know, the one-to-one with the line manager. So people will kind of like set up those kind of like goals, those objectives throughout the year. And some people might just want to, well, actually, I've been kind of doing my research and I feel like I could do, I don't know, like a level 3 or a level 4 in, I don't know, like marketing or, you know, or digital skills or digital design. And we will kind of like, the line manager will have that conversation, or the person might approach us directly to the L&D team and will support in finding like the right provider, like the right course provider for them. Does the person prefer to do it like online, at their own pace, in person? So there are a lot of options there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we kind of like facilitate, procure that course for them. Usually goes through the levy, so it's like, you know, like a course like the company will, you know, like will support. And there are a lot of opportunities, but usually they come through like, you know, your annual appraisal or maybe in a one-to-one. So I think I will encourage people, if you have a desire to pursue something slightly different or something that you feel like you want to like master a little bit more, just raise it up in your, you know, in your meetings with your manager. Just don't be afraid of asking, you know, like those opportunities are there. You just need to bring them up to the table and discuss them with your manager.
Excellent. So using those CPDRs, the Curtains Professional Development Reviews, to have that conversation. And I suppose really understand like, where will that kind of added value be seen, you know, as a person and then for the business. And then we can, I suppose, work with your team, with the learning and development team, to really understand, right, what's out there and how do we bring that and make it a reality.
I mean, it's as well about, obviously, it's not just about, okay, this is the right course for you. How's that person going to manage the workload? And because obviously we all have our own responsibilities. How's that going to be managed by the team? You know, does the rest of the team need to support while that person goes one day off on like a day release for studying? You know, having those conversations, making sure like the team can manage and support that person at the same time for their own career development.
Yeah, so it's a commitment, isn't it? It's a commitment for the individual, but it's the commitment for the team as well that are around them. But I suppose ultimately what we're getting towards here is a greater and a deeper skill level across our workforce. And you can draw the line straight back to how that benefits, obviously, the individuals, the teams, but also the client ultimately as well, because that service offer, I suppose, with each individual that grows in their personal skill set, makes our overall business a better place, and therefore a better company to be working with.
I feel at the moment it's quite amazing, because I feel in the past, obviously I've only been on L&D for over 2 years, but I think in the past apprentices have been mainly on technical roles, But now if you look at the numbers, I think we have about 7 people in non-technical roles doing, like, you know, they want to progress, they want to do, so that is great to see across all, you know, the business function,
yeah,
which is great.
Fantastic. And I suppose that brings us on to my next question, actually. I wanted to talk to you about the work that you're doing around STEM and outreach, because you really lead the charge on that. And we've got an amazing network of STEM ambassadors across Curtains, and I'm really kind of enthusiastic individuals. But you kind of, you do coordinate what that looks like. So how does the L&D team kind of help spark interest and support those STEM ambassadors?
Yes, so we always make sure to kind of like, you know, if celebrate any kind of like STEM national or international, you know, if there's a STEM national day, we kind of have a big shout out. But in terms of like how we support the different, you know, offices or our employees, we always kind of like shout out. If you, there is an STEM event that you are attending, you know, come to us. We have resources already in place. We have, like, you know, slide decks. We can help you support and, like, you know, in the designing an activity. Mm-hmm. What is it that you want to design? So recently we've done, you know, quite a few for, like, I don't know, the Leeds office or the Manchester or the Liverpool office. Like, I don't know what they want to focus on civil. We will design an activity around civil engineering for what year. We kind of target it as well for the year. So we do our own a bit of, like, research for them and kind of, like, support them, because we appreciate that STEM is a obviously volunteer role. Mm-hmm. And again, the technical team, they're always quite, you know, with their workload responsibilities. We do support them, like, you know, we are here to support you in, like, you know, to put those kind of like sessions together. Mm-hmm. We will put like the feedback after, you know, to see how they found the activity, like the presentation, the workbook, anything. So there's a lot of support from us. And we encourage everyone that if there is an STEM activity that you're planning to attend, you know where we are. We have an L&D dedicated mm-hmm. mailbox. Reach out to us or find us on Teams, and we'll just come have that conversation to see what is it that...
Yeah, there's a lot there, isn't there?
There's a lot of there.
Yeah, and you're saying that it's the resources, it's the research, it's the feedback afterwards, as well as, you know, literally kind of pulling these things, these slide decks together for people. So, yeah, I suppose the message there is just, if you're interested, if you want to get involved, or even if you are already starting to get involved, there's more, I suppose, there's more research. Yeah. There's more support that the learning and development team can give.
Yeah. Or I don't know, sometimes people come like, oh, do you have something about, I don't know, like career paths? And the wheel. Of course we do. Like, you know, we do have all resources. You don't have to do anything. Just come to us. We know what we will at least point you out to the right direction to where to find that information.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you, Laura. Okay. So, Laura, I'm going to ask you some rapid questions now. So we're in the quick fire part of the podcast. So tell me, if you could choose one person to join you for dinner... Okay, so you've got a dinner party. And I don't know, are you doing a Spanish tapas, I hope? I'd really, manchego. Like, and
tortilla de patatas.
Oh, yes. Okay, so croquetas. I'm there. Yeah. And I'm stuffing my face with Rioja and patatas bravas. But please tell me, who else would be at your dinner party table?
I actually really like Michelle Obama.
Oh, yes.
I read her biography as well.
Me too.
Yeah, a few years ago. And... yeah, I find it fascinating how she kind of like navigates that life with a, you know, with a man's, you know, like she was a woman, like literally. She's an amazing woman, and like having this like kind of like shining person next to you, like how she navigated, and she, you know, she wanted to keep like her job, and like, you know, I'm a mom, but you are a parent as well, and you know, I'm not doing like, you know, I'm not giving up my job for like your career. Yeah, I found it quite inspiring, to be honest. Yeah, Michelle, I'm not sure she will enjoy my Spanish food. Hopefully, yes.
Of course she would. Do you know what? I read this amazing quote, actually, about Michelle Obama. I don't know if it's true, but I love to think that it was. Her and Barack Obama were at a restaurant, and her ex-boyfriend owned the restaurant. And Barack said, oh, Michelle, look, like, if you'd have stayed with him, you could have owned a restaurant.
I think I've heard
And
it.
She said, no. He would have been president of the United States
exactly,
of America.
Yeah. Don't get it wrong, love. The other way around. I've made the president.
I love that.
Exactly.
In fact, that was also, so we had Ollie DeLucia Crick on the podcast, and that was also his answer. So in this
who?
Dinner party.
Michelle?
Michelle and Barack, actually. So there'll be me, you, Ollie DeLucia Crick, our BD director.
Very good.
And Barack and Michelle Obama.
Good choice. Yeah. Michelle.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Tell me then, so have you got a hidden talent? What would that be?
Yeah, I actually...
Okay. Your face is making me nervous.
No, maybe some people... No, I don't think many people know, but I am... I teach bar one evening in the week. So I'm a bar instructor.
Amazing.
At a studio in Chido. So
that is very cool.
Just I do a bit for fun, like once a week. So yeah, if you want a bit of like fitness one day, maybe we
get that core going. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. And tell us, I'm going to bring us back to curtains then. What's your favorite thing about working at curtains?
I'm going to say the people, really. Like the people, I think, bring it all together. People are friendly, nice to talk to no matter what team. I like since I've moved to L&D as well, you know, meet new people, like the business function, I pretty much know everyone. Mm. Before it was kind of like the Manchester hub, which they're all really nice. But yeah, I just like now that, you know, when I go to the get together, I get to talk to people in Cardiff and I'm like, oh, hi, I can finally like, I don't know, give you like a hug or whatever, like in person, like I've been talking, but never met them in person. But yeah, just people are generally like, good to talk to, like, you know, they are responsive, they get back to you, messages are friendly, and yeah, I love the atmosphere and the environment, and you know, and definitely career opportunity, that's something that curtains definitely have, and you know, we don't like that.
Perfect. So final question then, Laura, we ask this of everybody, of all of our guests. Picture you a year from today, what will you be doing? What would you like to have perhaps achieved in the previous year?
Yes, so I think in 12 months' time, I will hopefully have achieved my learning and development qualification, which it will be kind of finished around that time. And I will hopefully gain some more credibility as well as like in the technical field in the L&D. I'm, you know, kind of like bringing those set of skills as well to my team.
Perfect. Well, what a perfect way to close out the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, Laura. It's been fantastic.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us on Behind the Curtain.